Thanks for sticking around for the lesson. Can you hear me okay? Okay, for now. Tell me if there's any problems. Let's start with reading from Scripture. We'll go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known. Father, we thank you for all your gifts to us. Pouring out your goodness and light upon us and upon the world through the sacrifice of your Son at Mass. We ask you to open the ears of our heart to the word that you speak to us, and also to put into our mouths the word that is worthy to speak to you in response for such great gifts. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so like last week, we'll do a quick review, okay? You have to raise your hands. But do you remember from last time, we talked about the introductory rites of Mass, and do you remember any of the images or examples, anything that struck you from last time that you can recall? Go ahead.
I like that the holy water that we receive here at church is actually the water from the side of Christ, the blood and water. I thought that took me a little bit.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. No, thanks. So, you're saying when the regular everyday holy water that we have in the font in church is, it has to be, it is connected to by the Lord and by Scripture to the water that flows from the side of Christ, from the side of Jesus on the cross. Yeah. Other examples or images that you remember? Do you have any, like I said, we're not here for an intellectual exercise, we want results. So does anybody have any results to share? The difference that has been made in your own prayer, your own experience at Mass, or an ability to engage with what we're doing at Mass? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The example of corrective lenses. You remember the name for the corrective lenses we wear for understanding the liturgy? Yes, mystagogles. Excellent. Yeah. For mystagogical catechesis. Yes. Now, there's a little more pressure on all of us today to do well in this little class because my mom and dad are here. They're sitting back there, and my mom has taught these lessons many more times than I have. So if you have any questions, you can talk to her after this lesson. Last time we did the introductory rites, so that got us up to just after the opening prayer when we all sit down and the liturgy of the word begins. So we're going to talk about the liturgy of the word in very short order, okay? Now, I have to note again that this is a very cursory and We're just glossing over everything, okay? We're missing everything. We're touching on like 2% of what we can talk about in all of this. We didn't talk about the procession. We didn't talk about the altar. Didn't talk about the vestments. Didn't talk about the Kyrie or the Gloria. All of that will be for another time, a deeper lesson. All of this is supposed to be kind of a teaser so that you say, oh, there's more, and I like this, okay? So we're skipping past all of that, even though we could spend a lot of time on all of it, right to the readings, okay? As you know, the liturgy of the word includes the first reading, usually from the Old Testament, the psalm, the second reading, usually from the New Testament, the acclamation before the gospel reading, the gospel itself, okay? But even though the gospel points out as comes out as the fifth reading in that order, it's actually the sixth reading from scripture that we've had because, do you remember the first one? It's way back early at Mass, the first reading from the scriptures. It's before the sign of the cross. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, but the first instance of reading scripture at Mass, that's what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. It was from Song of Songs today, that was good. Yeah, so it's usually we put a hymn in its place, but at daily Mass we just read it from the Missal. It is the entrance antiphon, okay, or the intro it. So this is like the first proclamation of scripture at Mass. So, that makes the gospel, like I said, actually the sixth reading from scripture that we have. Like we said last time, there's four things we're going to go through. A little understanding of the symbol. Number two, the purpose of this part of Mass so that we can join ourselves to it and participate in it more deeply. The third thing is something to imagine, just like an image to kind of help us enter into it. And then the fourth thing will be a tip. We're going to reverse the order today and put the first thing at the end, which is what we're talking about in the homily today, a little something about the symbol of standing. And that's partially because if we run out of time, we're gonna lose that part, okay? Because that's the exercise. But let's talk about number two, which is the purpose of this section, okay? The liturgy of the word. We sit down, an lector comes up to the ambo. When we ask for the purpose of this section, what we're asking is what is actually happening, okay? To describe it as, Peg is reading the lectionary over the microphone is not what's really happening. It's like just a physical description, okay? But it's way too little. That's like what we see when we don't wear our mystic goggles, but what is actually happening in this? What's the purpose of the liturgy of the word? Just think for a moment. You don't have to give an answer, but put together what answer you might give. In Sacrosanctum Concilium, one of the documents of the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council, These two things happen, these two things are said, okay? It says, the Lord Jesus is present in his church in his word, since it is he himself who speaks when holy scriptures are read in the church. So that's one description. At the liturgy of the word, God is speaking to his church. When you ask, when does God speak to the world? The first answer, the most obvious one, is when the scriptures are read in church. That's Sacrosanctum Concilium number 7. But then in number 33 of that same document, it's talking about how the liturgy is there for worship, but also for instruction. And it says, for in the liturgy, God speaks to his people, and I really like this, and Christ is still proclaiming his gospel. And Christ is still proclaiming his gospel. So when the Lord ascends into heaven and is no longer with us in a bodily sort of way, in a clear way before us, he doesn't stop proclaiming his gospel to the world. The way it is done is different, maybe the mouthpiece, you could say, but Christ is still proclaiming his gospel during the liturgy of the word. I'm going to read a quick section of this book that will be there in the back for you to look at. This is A Devotional Journey into the Mass by Christopher Carstens, but he writes this. The liturgy of the word. History's conversation between God and humanity is not something lost to the past, nor is it that magnificent story happening beyond my day-to-day or mass-to-mass experience. Quite the contrary. The Mass's liturgy of the word is a microcosm of the great story of salvation history. Consider the first act of the liturgy of the word, the reading from the Old Testament. Like the chosen people, God speaks to us. Yet distantly and at times in the shadowy figures of the luminous Christ yet to come. Then in the psalm response, We speak to God, not in our own language, but in that of the Scriptures. The second reading finds God speaking to us again, now more clearly and closely in the light of Jesus. In the Gospel, Jesus speaks to us himself, while in the homily, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, his body, the Church, opens up the mystery to willing hearts. It was kind of dense, so here's what it breaks down to. Who are the characters, who are the actors that he's describing, are doing things in the liturgy of the word? There's God, and then there's the Church, okay? Then there's he kind of elaborates more, because then there's Jesus speaking to us in the Gospel, and then there is the Church speaking to us also if we're people of open hearts, you know? And what are they doing? There's this conversation going on where the Lord speaks and people are listening, and then the people respond, but not in their own words, but in the words of Scripture. And then the Lord speaks again in a different way in the New Testament. And then finally, at the Gospel, Jesus speaks. He reveals himself to us. And then, interesting, that the homily is not just like icing on the cake or something. In the homily, the church takes the Word of God and unfolds it and opens it to willing hearts. Again, he says that the liturgy of the Word is like a microcosm or like a little participation in the great story. The story of God trying to speak words of love to his people and the people having closed ears. But what that means is that in the liturgy of the word, we have an encounter with the reality that we read about in the story of salvation. So when we say, what's the purpose of the liturgy of the word? What's really going on in the liturgy of the word? It is not like God speaking to his people. It's not like we're trying to kind of recover from a dusty book something that was said before. No, really, in real time, in a new way, in a powerful way, in his own divine word, God speaks to his people. The real God to us is real people. The third thing is something to imagine, you know? And the image I have actually is sort of like sitting and listening to someone speaking to us. But it isn't like a teacher in a big classroom, maybe even like this. It isn't like someone, like a politician speaking to tens of thousands of people, trying to rally them or something. Instead, imagine someone who sits you down, someone who cares about you and has something important to tell you. What they are saying is intended for you and for not the crowd. Like maybe, I don't know, a coach or a mentor in something that you've been involved in, sports or music or whatever, who says, can I talk to you after, and sits you down and gives you maybe hard advice, I don't know, but says this because they care about you and it's intended just for you. Or maybe your parent or grandparent who says, can I talk to you, and they sit you down and they say something that is so personal and so intimate, it is just for you. This is what I imagine during the readings. This is not just like God speaking over a loudspeaker to many people, but this is the Lord speaking here to you today. One of the tips that I would have is the fourth thing, is to look for the spark in the readings beforehand. Okay, find the something that the Holy Spirit points out to you, the exciting something, so that when it arrives, you are waiting. When you find this before, it builds anticipation. It's like watching that like part of a movie, that scene of a movie that you've seen 10,000 times but you still love, you know? Every time as it comes around, you're like, yeah, it's still good. So it's like that when we have looked at the readings beforehand and we wait for the word to be spoken. It's different when we read it. It's different than when we read it by ourselves. It's different when it's proclaimed in church and we're in the assembly and finally it's spoken. It was sort of like we had a preview before and then it is spoken with power and newness. So have you heard of Velcro moments in prayer? It's just basically when you're reading through scripture and then something like actually like dings at you, you know, something sparks. Something that is called a Velcro moment because it kind of, you get stuck on it as you're combing through. You don't have to listen to the whole thing, but look for the Velcro moment and prepare your heart through whatever, prayer with scripture, Lectio Divina, but prepare your heart so that when it arrives, you have this open space for it. And then it arrives with such power and intensity, it will knock you over, and it's beautiful. We are We are, like I sort of thought we were going to be, we're out of time to go through the symbol of standing, but we did talk about it a little bit. I just want to say one thing about it. Okay, you remember the five sources of meaning for the symbols, the liturgical symbols that we've analyzed? Nature, human culture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the Book of Revelation. I just want to point out to you one example from the Old Testament that goes along with what we were reading about in the readings today. There's the Song of Songs. I will arise and find my beloved, the one whom my heart seeks. But then if you go to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, there's the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, okay? Where there's the bones, dusty, dry bones of a countless multitude there in this valley. And the Lord, through his angel, says to the prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "Only you know, my Lord." And then the Lord says, "Ezekiel, prophesy this to these dry bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And what happens is the dry bones stand. The dry bones are covered in sinews and muscle and then flesh, and they receive the breath of life again. Okay? This is what we have. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord, and the multitude rises from the dead. So we do this. Just before the gospel, when we sing Alleluia, we celebrate the power of the resurrection because we have heard the word of the Lord. And so now we stand and participate in the power that is Jesus, risen from the dead. And when we hear the words of the gospel, that is the revelation of Jesus to his church, we no longer have to be dry bones. He has restored us. He has brought our hearts back to life by the power of hearing the word of God. So let's stand and pray. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, give our hearts the room, the space, and even the emptiness, so that your word and power and glory may echo there and stand out from all the other words that are spoken through the day, the noisy words that are shouted to us and draw us away from you. Open our hearts to receive your word. All this glory and power. Your word is Jesus Christ, Lord, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, thanks for coming again. See you outside.